Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to Bhakta Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Yamikrishi Prabhuji for enlightening us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4.11.8 onwards. Hare Krishna, Yamikrishi Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for your valuable association. Please take over the call Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
My Dandavat Pranam to all the devotees on this Japa conference. Thank you very much for giving me opportunity to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. So please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha Kalpataruvyesya Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోవ్యస్థం విస్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తంసజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ నమో మహావదన్నాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే సో బి రీడింగ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 4 చాప్టర్ 11 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 8 9 10 11 అండ్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ అప్ టు 12 సో టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 8 నాస్మత్ కులోచితం తాత కర్మే తత్ సద్ విగర్హితం వధో యదూపదేవానాం ఆరబ్ధస్తే కృతేన సాం. My dear son, the killing of the sinless yakshas which you have undertaken is not at all approved by authorities, and it does not befit our family, which is supposed to know the laws of religion and irreligion. So this is spoken by Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu is a grandfather of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj's father is Uttanapad, and Uttanapad's father is Swayambhu Manu, and Swayambhu Manu is the son of Lord Brahma. So what happened after he saw the Supreme Lord and got the benediction that he will rule over the Dhruva planet and go there after ruling on the earth planet for 36,000 years, then he was very much welcomed. And so everything that happened, but one time this Kuvira's followers, Yakshas, they somehow killed his brother Uttama. So he was very much affectionate to Uttama, and so he fought back, and he's killing so many Yakshas for one person who was killed because of the destiny. So this is not like a war that for Sita Devi, Lord Ram killed the whole dynasty of the Rakshasas. That is something different. That is some divine arrangement. But here it is arranged by Dhruv that these Yakshas killed my brother, so I should finish whole dynasty of the Yakshas or Kuvir's followers. So that was not the right thing, and this is what that it is not approved by the authorities, and it does not befit our family, because they are all devotees who have compassion. Vaishnav janto tene kahi je peer parai jaade re. So they have to have a peer, means the suffering. So they have to know the suffering of the other living being, that if they are being killed in this way, so how much that they have to suffer. And in Bhagavatam we hear the story of Maragrari, that Maragrari, when Narad Muni was passing by in a forest, and Maragrari was killing so many animals, half killed, and he used to get like titillating sensation, or used to become happy by seeing them ride, or seeing them suffering, and not really, he was not even killing them fully, so they may suffer for a long time, and he used to
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can you come animal. Closer to the phone, the voice is very soft. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, I will, I will, Okay, thank you. I will try, okay? I will try close to the... So in this way, this... So Narad Muni comes to this Mrugrari and asks that, listen to me. He thought that he's coming and begging some skin or something. And so he says that, yes, I could provide you any kind of skin. He says, no, I don't need anything, but at least listen to my request. That if you are killing, then kill them full. Don't kill halfway. And he says, why? I enjoy that. And he says that by doing this, whatever suffering that you are inflicting on them, then these animals, you will become those animals in different lifetime, and animals would be coming as human being and will kill you. So this is the tit for tat, or whatever you do, there is a resultant reaction. Any action, there is a reaction. Then he taught him about the philosophy that how giving suffering to any living being who are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord is very heinous, and you have to suffer for many years. And then he said that don't kill. But again, Mrugrari is saying, how I will be able to take care of my family? We subsist on selling the skin, selling the meat, and how? So he says that you don't worry about. You just stay in a hut and just chant the holy name, and people will provide you. So by the arrangement of Narad Muni, he was getting surplus of the grains and food and very, very nice food stuff, and he used to return it back as prasad after offering. So in this way he purified. And here, Dhruva Maharaj, who is a devotee of the Lord, who has seen the Lord, and he is killing unnecessarily to many, many yakshas. And that is why Swayambhu Manu, the topic is, Swayambhu Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj. He is telling to Dhruva Maharaj that it is not good. It is against the, which is supposed to be no. We have to know the what is religion and what is irreligion. And we should not do like this. So the next verse is, Nanvek Shaparadena Prasangad Bhavohatha Bhratur Vadhavi Taptena Tvayanga Bhratra Vatsalaha. My dear son, it has been proved that you are very much affectionate toward your brother and are greatly aggrieved at his being killed by the yakshas. But just consider, for one yakshas offense, you have killed many others who are innocent. So there are many innocent people that you are being killing just for your one brother alone. And so, because only one yaksha killed Uttam, not all. Not like, but he is now killing whole mass, in a mass that he is killing all these yakshas. So one may say, Arjun also had a compassion that yes, Krishna asked him to fight, and he says that by seeing so many people coming, so that Yudhishthira Maharaj could be established on the throne, and then they had to kill practically all Kauravas and even Pandavas. So all these were killed in this fight. So why Lord Krishna allowed to kill in mass to so many people, like a world war or more than even world war? So many, 18 Akshuni Sena was killed at that time. But that is Krishna's plan. The earth was burdened by many demonic people, and Krishna wanted to establish Yudhishthira Maharaj as the Dharma Raj, or who could rule over properly. So that was his desire. So we cannot compare the same thing that Dhruv is killing and Lord Krishna allowed Arjun to kill. Means he showed him through Gita who is he, what is all this population, and he is killing the demonic propensity. The soul can never be killed. So he gave a very analogically all the difference between soul and the body and senses and who is he and what is his order. So we cannot compare what is happening here to what the Dhruva Maharaj is doing. So just for one person, you should not be killing so many innocent yakshas. So that is Swayambhu Manu is telling to Dhruva Maharaj. The next verse, number 10, Nayam margo hi sadhu nam rishikeshano varti nam yadatmanam paragraya pashuvad bhuta vaishasam. One should not accept the body as the self, and thus, like the animals, kill the bodies of others. So self, accept the body as the self. Self is different than the body. Body is just a covering. Body has nothing to do with the self. Self is completely aloof and has nothing to do. So the same way, and thus like the animal, so kill the bodies of the other. So animals they attack and they kill. But you are not animal, you are a devotee of the Lord, and you should not kill the bodies. There is no need to kill the bodies of the others. The soul is cannot be killed, but you should not kill the body and give them pain and suffering. This is especially forbidden by saintly persons who follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is a devotee of the Lord, they don't do in this way. So for a time being, in so much that he became upset, Dhruva Maharaj, that he forgot all these principles of the religion and he started fighting and killing. And then later on he became very happy that his grandfather advised him not to kill, and he stopped, he listened to him. The demonic people, they don't listen. Like Ravan was told by Mandodari and his brother Kumbhakarna and his own son also, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram. Don't fight. Give Sita Devi back and surrender unto the Lord Ram. He will forgive you. But he would not listen. But here, Dhruva Maharaj, because he had a kind heart and he listened to his grandfather's advice, and immediately he came back to the senses. So there is a difference between a devotee and a demon. Devotee would always take to a good advice, and demons would never listen to anybody. They will just follow their mentality and just act according to their instincts rather than think according to the scripture. In reality, we should not be concocting anything, but we should talk from the scripture, that where the Mahajanas or scriptures are saying, and then only follow, not create so many different things like so much demigod worship and so much worship of ghost and half goblins, are so many people they create, so many demigods they come every day. They make some verses and write and distribute certain pamphlet all over, and some people may get the result and they start worshipping. Giving up the worship of the Supreme Lord Krishna, they worship the so many different demigods who don't even exist even. And worship so many people who show certain magic. So many, every day there are many, they become God. Like many people, just by putting a saffron clothing and putting some kind of ashes, they become and they worship there. And they all, not only the guru falls in the ditch, but even their chelas, they also fall in the ditch and they remain in the material world perpetually for a long time. So, sadhu nam, rishi keshanu varti nam are very significant. Sadhu means a saintly person. Who is a saintly person? A saintly person is he who follows the path of rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hrishikesha. So this is very important part, that who is a saintly person. Unless they offer respect and service, loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Loving devotional service means out of love, not out of something to exchange, not like a baniya or businessman. That you serve out of your affection for the Lord, out of love toward the Lord, and you serve without anything in return. So not only nishkam, but loving devotional. Not you are attached to some kind of work, even if you don't want the fruit, fruitive result. So there is a nishkam karma and sakam karma, but nishkam means without anything in return, but still you are attached to the work. But in a pure devotee, they just serve Krishna. Even whatever the result may come, bad or good, doesn't matter. They just want to serve the Lord out of pure affection for the Lord, out of attachment to the Lord. So, Hrishikesha, so one should be rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hrishikesha. Hrishikesha, Hrishik means the senses, and Isha means the master. So, Hrishikesha means the master of the senses. So in Narad Pancharatra it is said, Hrishikesha Hrishikena Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. That what is bhakti or devotional service, or who is a saintly person? Who Hrishikesha means the master of the senses, who serves the master of the senses by Hrishikena, by the senses. So our senses are meant to serve the master of the senses. We are the servants of the Lord, Jivera Surupave Krishna Nityadas. So by this senses we serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all the senses. The whole verse is that we will be reading that. What is the whole verse of this from Narad Pancharatra. The process of rendering favorable service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's senses is called bhakti or devotional service. Therefore, why should a person who is already engaged in the service of the Lord engage himself in personal sense gratification? So Dhruv Maharaj was doing it by his personal whimsies, that let me just kill the whole dynasty of this Yakshas because they killed my brother. So that should not be the motivation, but out of some rage he did that. But it's not that he left his devotional service. He was still thinking of the Supreme Lord. So Dhruv Maharaj is advised here by Lord Manu. Now, any great person can be told a Lord, like Lord Shiva or Bhagwan. So Bhagwan word could also be, Bhagwan means opulences. The Manu was the first like son from Brahma, and then he created the all generation later on. So Swayambhu Manu's son is so he is given the title Lord by Lord Manu, that he is a pure servitor of the Lord. But that does not mean that he became God by putting the title. Why should he unnecessarily engage like the animals in the bodily concept of life? An animal thinks that the body of the another animal is his food. Therefore, in the bodily concept of life, one animal attacks another. A human being, especially one who is a devotee of the Lord, should not act like this. A sadhu, a saintly person, devotee, is not supposed to kill animals unnecessarily. So how one becomes saintly person, what is his qualities, is given very much and Bhakti Rasa, this Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. So I'll be reading few verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 19, text number 166 onward. Shuddha bhakti haite haya prema utpanna. Ateva shuddha bhaktir kahiye lakshana. When one is situated in pure devotional service, he develops love of Godhead. Therefore, let me describe some of the symptoms of pure devotional service. How? What are the symptoms? When first class devotional service develops, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavartam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama uttam bhakti. So first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desire, jnana karmadi anavartam, no other desire, anyabhilashita, there should not be any desire. Knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, that is jnana, and karmadi and fruitive activity. Karma, that you do any action for getting the result. That fruitive action should not be there. And the devotee must constantly serve Krishna, anukul, favorably, as Krishna desires. So this is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also. So Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him and engage in devotional service. Devotional service means preaching this gospel all over the world. So that is the Nacha Tasman Manusheshu. In Bhagavad Gita also it says, Kashin Me Priya Kratama, that one should preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of all, and nobody is as dear as he who does this work. So Krishna is telling through Bhagavad Gita 1869 that one should preach this gospel, what Krishna told to Arjun, that is for us to spread it to all over the world. Prathvite Ateyache Nagradigram Sarvatra Prachar Vabe Naam More Naam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that my name would be all over. My name means not only just chanting, but this teachings of Bhagavad Gita would be spread all over. So that is the prediction, and we should take that. We should become an instrument for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are his devotees. So for a devotee, there cannot be worship of others, like any demigods or any another man. A pure devotee must not cherish any other desire than to serve Krishna. He should not offer worship to the demigods or to mundane personalities. He should not cultivate artificial knowledge, means monistic philosophy, to merge in the Brahma Jyoti, which is devoid of Krishna consciousness, and should not engage himself in anything other than Krishna conscious activities. One must engage all one's purified senses in the service of the Lord. That is, this is the favorable execution of the Krishna conscious affairs. Anya vancha, anya puja, chadi jnana karma, anukulle sarvendriya krishnanu shilan. So this is Shuddha Bhakti. Hey Shuddha Bhakti, Haite Prem Hai, Pancharatre Bhagavate, Hey Lakshan Kai. These activities are called Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. If one renders such pure devotional service, he develops his original love for Krishna in due course of time. The Vedic literatures like the Pancharatra and Srimad Bhagavatam, these symptoms are described. So Pancharatri ki vidhi is the Diti worship. That is Narad Pancharatra. He wrote within 5 days how to engage in the Diti worship. Diti is the Supreme Lord himself, and there is Bhagavad Vidhi. Bhagavad Vidhi is chanting. This Navada Bhakti is also a Bhagavad Vidhi. You read Srimad Bhagavatam, you preach this Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a Bhagavad Vidhi. That saintly people are Bhagavad. They go out of their way, they go town to town, travel, and then preach the Bhagavad Dharma. That what is the duty of a human being, how they should love Krishna, what they should do. So that is Krishnanu Silan. Sarvopadhi Vinirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. That verse was quoted in our translation. So that is the Sarvopadhi. Upadhi means we are having too many coverings, designations. Upadhi means, I am Indian, I am American, I am doctor, or I am black, I am white. All these things are Upadhi. So we should give up for this Upadhi. Because we are, this is the Upadhi of the body, not the self. Self is a pure servant of the Krishna, pure soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So Vinir Muktam, you give away all this, engage anything else for your Upadhi. Tat paratvena nirmalam, you become free from all these designations. Rishikesha Rishikena, that Rishikesha is the master of the senses, you serve him by the senses. So senses are sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the supreme personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designation. So those side effect is that sarva upadhi is gone, free from all the material designation. And simply being empowered, implied in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. So our senses get purified. Means right now it is all material senses, want to enjoy in the sense gratification. But purified senses means who want to the senses, want to serve the Lord. Senses are engaged in the service of the Lord. They become purified. They just like when you put iron in the fire, iron gets the characteristic of the fire. It becomes fire. It could burn anything. It's a red hot. So our senses are does not remain material. It becomes spiritual. Senses are spiritualized. Our body is spiritualized. And so we are completely, that is the real surrender, that you use all the faculties, all the senses in service of the Lord. Vacha, mansa, karuna, by your wealth, by your possession, because everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. We should only take that much what is needed to maintain our body and soul together. So this is also given in Narad Pancharatra and Bhakti Rasamrita. Sindhu, very important verse, Sarvopadhi Vinirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. So just as the celestial waters of the Ganges flow unobstructed into the ocean, so when my devotees simply hear of me, their minds come to me. I reside in the heart of all. So madguna shruti matrena, we should hear the glorification of the Lord. Mai sarva guhashaye manogatir avichinna yatha gangambho ambudav. Ambud means samudra, and our ocean or water that is collect. So as like the Ganges fall, go to the ocean with great speed, our mind should also go on the service of the Lord. How I could serve, how I could make everything better, how could spread Krishna consciousness. So this thought should be there in all the people who are really devotees. So that is the symptom of a sadhu or a devotee. What does he do? These are the characteristics of the transcendental loving service to Purushottam, the supreme personality of Godhead. It is causeless and it cannot be obstructed in any way. Like Ganga does not get obstructed even if there is mountains, stones are around the block, but it just goes on flowing, even it will go around. So this is the lakshan of a bhakti, that even some material disease, distresses don't obstruct the service of the devotee. he continues serving the Supreme Lord by all the whatever faculties he has, by all the senses he serves. Ahetuki aparihata. Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hi udar haradam. Ahetuki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhati. Ya bhakti purushottame. So my devotees do not accept, they don't even accept salokya samipya, any kind of mukti. Mukti means becoming free, but they don't want all five kinds of mukti. But they prefer to serve the Supreme Lord. Now you may say, what is problem with the mukti? We all want to be free from material entanglement. Just becoming free, but then what you will do? We are part of Krishna. Soul cannot remain inactive even for a second. So how you could be inactive? You have to work. And that work is for Krishna. So serve Krishna by all your faculties, and that is the what Krishna wants of us, and that is what we have to do, and this is how we can surrender. Otherwise, even for a minute, we cannot live. Our mind will always, if you don't serve Krishna, just becoming free from all the entanglement, then again you will think of some kind of khurapat or some kind of abnormal activity to enjoy your own senses. People in the hospital, they become free from the disease. Then they come home, and if they are not a devotee, they will engage in sense gratification again becoming sick. So these are the way, so one should be engaged, not just look for salokya, samipya, sarasti, or oneness with the Lord, but liberation is offered devotee, don't want the liberation. If one is infected with the desire for material enjoyment or material liberation, both are, material enjoyment means fruitive activity, and let me enjoy swargalok, janlok, thaplok, maharlok, nice places, denizens, nice gardens, nice apsaras, let me enjoy. He cannot rise to the platform of pure devotional service. Even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles, if one maintains within his heart the desire to enjoy the results of good work or being embarrassed by the material world, the desire to get out of the material entanglement, one will never be able to attain the transcendent. If one wants to get out of the material entanglement, that is mukti. So mukti, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakele ashant. Krishna bhakta nishkam ateva shant. So when we desire, and mukti is like a bhagini. Bhukti mukti swaraha yavat pishachi hrdi vartate. Tavat bhakti sukhashyatra katham abhyudaya bhavet. So as long as there is this desire to enjoy the material world or desire to become liberated from material bondage, so we don't want to become liberated from the material bondage. Bondage means that we are part, we are always bound with Krishna. We are his servant and we should just serve rather than becoming free from this bondage, whether it is a spiritual bondage or material. So these are the two witches. What are the witches? Bhukti and mukti. And they haunt one like the ghost. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how one can feel transcendental bliss? So you may say, so you cannot attain or enjoy the transcendental bliss of devotional service by bhukti or mukti. But out of these two, mukti is more dangerous. And that is like a bhagini that just devour you. Why? Because if you are looking for some sense enjoyment, you may come, like in higher planetary system, you may come in contact with a devotee and become free. But now you are liberated free, you don't want to hear to anybody. So then there is less chance to be free from this desire, to be free from the material world. So bhakti yoga is described above as ultimate goal of life. By rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one transcends the modes of material nature and attains the spiritual position on the platform of direct devotional service. So we will be reading that this is Hrishikesha Hrishikena Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. The process of rendering favorable service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's senses is called bhakti or devotional service. Therefore, why should a person who is already engaged in the service of the Lord engage himself in personal sense of gratification? So, Manu Maharaj is saying that he is a pure servitor and he should engage in the service of the Lord. So, the next verse, number 11, is Sarvabhutatma Bhavena Bhutavasam Harim Bhavan Aradhyapaduraradhyam Vishnus Tatparamampadam. It is very difficult to achieve the spiritual abode of Hari. in the Vaikuntha planet, but you are so fortunate that you are already destined to go to that abode. After being ruling for 36,000 years, Dhruva Maharaj would go back to the spiritual kingdom, and it was already decided. So you are so fortunate, it is not that easy, but you are so fortunate that you are destined to go there. Him is the supreme abode of all living beings. The material bodies of all living entities cannot exist unless sheltered by the spirit soul. So spirit soul is sheltering that material bodies live because spirit soul orders the senses. Senses, they work to maintain the body. But senses are inert. Themselves, they cannot do. Even the soul cannot do anything unless it is empowered by the super soul, Paramatma. So Paramatma, out of his kindness, is every time with us. So we will talk about that particular topic. It is given in the story of Puranjan, and it is described in almost 5 chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, the same canto. We are reading from chapter number 24 to 28. It has been described that how the soul that falls down, the spirit soul, and remains in the material world. So for next 20-25 minutes, we will talk about that. So since anything material or spiritual is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord is referred to here as Bhuta Vas. Bhuta means the living being. Vas means he lives there as Paramatma. So he is called also Bhuta Vas. Dhruva Maharaj, as a Kshatriya, could have argued with his grandfather Manu when Manu requested him to stop fighting. But even though Dhruva could have argued that as a Kshatriya it was his duty to fight with the enemy, he was informed that since every living entity is residence of the Supreme Lord and can be considered a temple of the Lord, the unnecessary killing of any living entity is not permitted. It's a very important part that super soul, Bhutavas, the Paramatma, he lives in everybody's heart. Along with the soul, there is a super soul. So, by killing somebody, not only we hurt the soul, but we also hurt the soul. Personality of Godhead is there. He is with us. So, a devotee should not engage in unnecessarily killing. You may say, jivo jivasya jivanam. That one jiva is food for another. That is true. But for human beings, there is so much plenty of other things that is less conscious. And we have been sanctioned when we offer to Krishna, then it becomes his mercy and we can take that. But otherwise, by killing unnecessary or hunting, and like there is a mercy hunting in the winter time, in December time, for all the deers, that's a nonsense. Deer would die their own from cold or from whatever, or starvation. So why we should be taking that in our own hand, the law? We are not the lawmaker. Lawmaker is Krishna. We just follow his instruction. He does not want unnecessary killing. So we should not be killing. There is a season, hunting season. That's not the government duty to allow whole soul. This is not right. So how the pure devotee, Bhuta Vas, or how one falls down from the spiritual kingdom. And that was in a conference that was talked. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Can you be little louder? Can you come closer?
Okay. I will be more close, okay? So the conscious self, the soul, is distinct from the physical mechanism of the body. Body is walking, working, but the soul has nothing to do. Soul has its own spiritual senses. And there is a lot of confusion in the scientist area and medical field, and whether the mind and body, mind is the same as the body. But mind and body, are mind and the brain, they are completely different. Brain is just a, see, this article would give you so many clear, so many conceptions that we have been, our whole world is just putting. And if you read this, so this is very nice, and that's why I thought that I will read about that, or I will discuss about this topic. So those people are called, so brain is a material substance. It's like 2 kilo in weight or 1.5 kilo in weight, whatever the weight. But mind is subtle substance. It is complete, although material, but it is completely different from the brain. So they are the scientists, they don't understand this difference. So this kind of people who see that brain and mind are distinct, they are called dualist. So mind-body problem, or mind and body is different than the mind, are perhaps hampered by, among other things, there is not proper analogies or allegories in the Western world. So that's why we wanted to talk about this allegory of Puranjan, that out of kindness, that Narad Muni is describing this allegory in 5 chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam to Prachin Barisat. Prachin Barisat was also unnecessarily killing so many animals and hunting, and because his children were gone for some tapasya, prachetas, and he comes from Dhruv's family. So he comes from great grandchildren of Dhruv Maharaj. So here, that is why you will be reading that in the next chapter. So Narad Muni is teaching to King Prachin Barisat or Barisat. Prachin Barhi also you may call it. So he is giving the elaborate allegory of the city of the 9 gates. So it challenges the modern scientists and researchers to take a second look at this dualism. So the central character of this allegory is a king named Puranjan. And the Puranjan means one who enjoys in a body. Jan means the soul, you may say, but Pur means the city. So one who enjoys, the city is the body. So Puranjan is everybody. Everybody of us is Puranjan, that we are enjoying in this city of our body, which has 9 gates. 9 gates are, there are 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 1 mouth, 2 ears, the genitalia, and evacuation. So these are the 9 gates. So he originally existed as a spirit soul in a purely spiritual realm in relationship with the Supreme Conscious Being. So we were with God, but we wanted to enjoy separately. So God gave us that, okay, you could try. That is just like it. So he puts us in a dream, in an illusion. So we come in an illusion, not really, not as a servant of Krishna, but we come in an illusion and then dream to enjoy in the material world. So he gives us this body because we cannot enjoy separately in the spiritual kingdom, just like the state creates a prison house. That, okay, you want to act whimsically, then be in the prison house and remain there until you are purified. So that is why it is a reformatory, prison house is a reformatory place. Material world is a reformatory place to reform by putting us punishment, by teaching, by in so many ways we are being taught that we are not part of this material world, whether it is a first class chain or like golden chain, iron chain or silver chain, but we should be free. Why we should be remaining here? There's so much wealth of the personalities awaiting us, but just for a little flickering happiness. We want to remain in the material world and we just remain because from time immemorial, we see there is some pleasure and we don't see that, we don't hear, we have no faith in the spiritual scriptures that, oh, who has seen whether God is there, whether I will be able to enjoy. But here is enjoyment. Let me hear. So even the Indra, when he became a hog, he did not want it to go and become an Indra. So that is our situation also, that we are so much like tempted with this Maya, and Maya makes us believe that there is some enjoyment in the material world. Just come, alluring, more and more, like a beautiful woman calling, come, you will be able to enjoy me. But even the materialist cosmology of modern science, they also believe that there is some transcendental realm. That is to say, a realm that exists beyond the universe knowable by the science. Beyond this, they also exist that there is something that we don't understand, and from which that universe emerges at the same time, at the time of the Big Bang, that universes are coming from this transcendental realm. So that is accepted by, because where the Big Bang comes, means a big chunk. So the transcendental reality exists beyond time, space and matter. It's called the quantum mechanical vacuum. So this spiritual reality or transcendental reality, the scientists, they gave the name quantum mechanical vacuum. And from them, that comes the Big Bang thing, that they say that universes, they come. Otherwise, they don't know where this chunk came, who gave it the motion. So they give it that there is something transcendental beyond our imagination. We can't think of. That is the place is there. So that is the scientist explanation. So they say it is a pure energy field in which particles appear and instantly disappear. From the sea of virtual particles, some expand and continue to exist. According to the many cosmologists, our universe is one such expansion. Just like Mahavishnu lies down in the causal ocean, and then from his breathing and from his hair pores, so many universes, they come and they expand. So that is what is that Big Bang theory is, that they expand. So they also believe that there is something transcendental beyond this mortal world. So both the Bhagavad Puran and the Big Bang cosmology of the modern science point to an eternal transcendental existence, from which our universe of matter, with its features of time and space, the time and space is not there in the spiritual kingdom that arises. So modern cosmologists and other theories have great deal of difficulty in coaxing enough variety from the smooth and featureless universe that, according to the theory, expands from the quantum mechanism vacuum. The origin of consciousness also poses that how the consciousness came. Yes, it came, there was a bubble, it expanded, but how there is a consciousness? And then how all this, like you have your senses, the senses is like a hand, arm, but how it is integrated properly? How you just think in one way? The mouth is speaking, the food is being eaten, our ears they hear, eyes they see, but how that is all integrated in one smooth process? Who does that? So that is all, there is a doubt. So what happens when we, the soul, is departed from the spiritual world by the misuse of the independence? The King Puranjan journeys through the material world. Material world means he journeys in this body. He is looking for a suitable body where he could enjoy, suitable place. So he had a friend that is called Avigyat, Avigyat Sakha, unknown friend. That is, the unknown friend is the super soul. That is, super soul is an expansion of Krishna. So when Puranjan leaves God and the spiritual world, his memory of them becomes covered. Now he is in illusion. His memory is completely covered that he is part of Krishna. He was one time in his spiritual kingdom. But unknown to the Puranjan, God accompanies him on his journey through the material world. Throughout the material world, the super soul is with us. According to the Bhagavad Puran, God accompanies all spirit souls in the material world as their unknown friend, who observes and sanctions their activity. So unless our activity or desires are sanctioned by the Lord, we cannot fulfill them. So it is not the soul who fulfills our desire or acts, but it is the super soul. So everything is done by the super soul. So in the Western world, mind-brain dualism is identified like there is some matter extended in space. So there are. So how are impressions transmitted from realm of matter to the completely different realm of mind? So from matter, like from our senses, those experiences we have, like there is something soft we touch, but that is how it is come to the mind. So connection between mind and matter occurred. So they say, the medical science and the scientists, that it happens in the pineal gland, in the brain. But this answer, the scientists now, they reject that it is not through the pineal gland. So Bhagavad Puran, both matter and soul in the material world are energies of the God. Matter and soul, both are energies. One is a external energy, matter is an external energy of the Lord, and soul is an marginal energy of the Lord. So they have a single spiritual source, this both matter and spirit. The philosophy of the Bhagavad Puran is the both dualist and monist simultaneously. Monist means Krishna is the origin for everything, and dualist is that he is creating the material world. There are two energies. Other than his own Swamsa Tattva, there are two energies. Those energies are spiritual and material. Spiritual is soul, is a spiritual part, spark of the Lord, and material is this material, maya or material energy. So if we use anything for the Lord, that maya or external things could become internal. Just like if you use, like we are using this conference call, then all this call and connection become spiritualized because it is being used for service of the Lord. Anything that you separate, think it is as its own exist. Rite artha yat pratyata na pratyata chatmani. We think that anything is separate, has a separate existence, then it is maya. The philosophy of the Bhagavad Puran is thus, dualist and monist, the interaction of the matter and the soul in the material world are mediated by the super soul, who exists inside each material atom and also accompanies each spirit soul. By the arrangement of the super soul, impressions of the material experience can be channeled to the soul. So, material experience can be connected, channeled to the soul. Like we feel, we see something, but it is not the I who is seeing. It is the soul who is seeing, because I and all the connections, they are all material, they are all dead. Our body is dead at all the time, even now we are dead. Because if the soul is not there, the body is nothing. Body cannot do. The eye would not see, the ear would not hear, the hand would not work, the legs would not walk. So, who is walking? It is the soul. But who is energizing the soul? It is the super soul. Paramatma is energizing that. So it is not the pineal gland that scientists think. So Bhagavad Puran is explaining that super soul who exists inside each material atom and accompanies his spirit soul. So by that arrangement of the super soul, impressions of the material experience can be channeled to the soul. How this takes place is the subject of the allegory of Puranjan. So having left the spiritual world, Puranjan, accompanied by Avikyat Sakha, the super soul, wanders through the material world. He wants to find a suitable place to enjoy himself. In other words, he searches a suitable kind of body to inhabit. He tries in many kinds of bodies on many planets, but he was not happy. So, that each species of life consists of a soul inhabiting a particular kind of body. So, in this respect, the Bhagavad Puran accounts differs from the Desecrates, who held that only humans have the soul. So that is completely nonsense. Animals are, they say that they are just automatons. They are just byproduct. That animals have no soul, but they have consciousness, and they have the soul is there also. That is the Bhagavad Puran. So eventually Puranjan comes to a place called Navadwarapura. That is the city of the nine gates. He finds that is the human body. He finds this quite attractive. The city of the nine gates represents the male human body. So nine gates is a male human body with its nine openings that we talked. So as Puranjan wanders through the garden of the city, so there are gardens in that city, in the body, he encounters an extremely beautiful woman. Puranjan is attracted to her and she is attracted to him. She becomes his queen. So, Puranjan, as we have seen, represents the conscious self. The beautiful woman, the queen, represents the intelligence, the buddhi, intelligence. According to, so intelligence is there. So, Puranjan is the human body, the male body, and this wife, the woman, is the intelligence. According to the philosophy of the Bhagavad Puran, intelligence is a subtle material energy with discriminatory capabilities. So it discriminates. The mind is just so many sankalp and vikalp, so many things you think, so many plan making. But then what is right, what is wrong? So discrimination is done by the intelligence. What is good and what is bad? Conscious self and the intelligence. So the attraction between King Puranjan and the queen, between the conscious self, between the soul and the intelligence, is the root of embodied consciousness. So what happens that we connect ourselves with our intelligence, sometimes with the mind, if intelligence is easily dull. So we just connect whatever happens. So some are sensual, like the animals. They think whatever senses happen, you do it. They go on instinct. Then we think that whatever in the mind, let me just get satisfied. So everything is in the mind. Mind vidhi bhusa bhara ho, then you cannot think of the Supreme Lord. So then it has to be discerned by the intelligence. But sometimes intelligence becomes subordinate to the mind. And mind drags us. Maneva manushanam karanam bandha mokshayo. That bandhan and moksha, freedom, is because of the mind. And mind becomes so much, hum usi ko, the soul thinks that I am the mind, I am the intelligence, not the body, but I am this. So that way, just because of so much affection or intimacy between them, then whatever happens to body or the mind, it is really to the happen. Nothing happens to the body, it happens all to the mind. We think in that way. And that way, even we dream, we suffer in dream time. Dream, who is dreaming? The mind is dreaming. Mind is making plan. And he suffers in the dream or enjoys in the dream. So body is lying down. So it is not the senses. It is the mind who suffers or who enjoys. It is just our thought process. Mind is like thinking, feeling, willing. Although these are naturally thinking of the Lord, that is transcendental. But mind also thinks. Thinking, feeling, willing is also becomes from the mind also. So here, the attraction between King Puranjan and the Queen is the root of all our embodied consciousness. Embodied means that we, the people who have bodies, that consciousness, material consciousness, that is embodied consciousness. The King, it should be noted, has distinct conscious selfhood with non-material sensory capability, but becomes dormant when he begins his relationship with the Queen. When we just follow our intelligence or mind or the senses, then this our real consciousness, that goes away. It is just covered. So we are covered by this maya or material consciousness, and when we develop our relationship with this Queen. Queen means all, you may say, mind, intelligence, senses. There, the Queen, the subtle material element called intelligence, allows Puranjan, means the self, the soul, to enjoy the city of nine gates, the grass-fed physical body. Employing a computer analogy, we might say Puranjan represents the user, the city of nine gates, the computer hardware, and the Queen is like the software that allows user to interface with the hardware and uses it for practical purposes. So this is how the Queen is the software and hardware is the male form. The Queen means a covered consciousness, not the real soul, but the covered consciousness or covered soul is the hardware. The Queen is not alone, however, but it accompanies 11 bodyguards and a serpent with 5 heads. The bodyguards are the mind and the 10 senses, 5 working and 5 knowledge acquiring senses, and the mind, that is the 11 bodyguards. And the 11 means 11 bodyguard, and serpent, that serpent is prana, apan, vyan, aman. So these are the, that is serpent, that is prana, vayu, that protects us, that is with us. And they have so many wives also. These bodyguards are the wives. They represent the desire of material experience. Senses act under the pressure. So senses and sense organs. So philosophy of the Bhagavad, senses are different from the physical sense. Our senses are different from the physical sense organs. The senses along with mind and intelligence are part of the invisible, subtle material covering of the soul. The physical organs of sensation, that is eyes, nose, tongue, ears, skin, legs, arms, mouth, anus, genitalia, are part of the visible, gross physical body. So they are grouped together to form the body. But that has nothing to do with the subtle senses. Subtle sense also has, so there's all these grass senses are represented by the subtle senses. And these subtle senses are representative of the soul as its own senses. So when we go to the spiritual kingdom, the soul would have their purified senses when they are engaged in the service of the Lord. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sivanam, Bhaktir, Uchyate. So the distinction between subtle senses and the physical sense organs is important. And offers consciousness researchers a valuable conceptual tool. The problem of phantom limb. So there is that somebody has an amputated limb. So his arm is cut. But then he feels that there is an arm because the nerves and all the sensation goes inside. So that is felt. Now limb is not there. So limb is not feeling. But who is feeling? But subtle senses is not chopped off. The city of nine limbs and even quite distinct sensation, twitches or pain or itching. He thinks that he has a limb. The city of nine gates allegory provides explanation for this mysterious phenomenon. The case of someone whose arm has been amputated, but who still feels the presence of the arm. The arm is one of the working senses. It is a grass sense. It is composed of two elements, subtle grasping sense and the physical organ of the arm and the hand. Amputation removes the physical organ through which the subtle sense operates, but the subtle sense itself remains. So subtle sense remains, but the grass sense or grass arm has been amputated. but still the subtle sense remains, and therefore its presence is mentally perceived. So this may be explain some of the phenomena reported in connection with the ghost and apparitions. Ghosts don't have a body, but still they enjoy and suffer, and meaning particularly the mysterious movement of physical objects. This model may explain how persons are able to experience sense data during near-death experience, that they are lying on the operation table, but then they see from above. So who is seeing? That is, the mind is seeing their own body is being operated. So there is so it could rise above or go away from the body also. In a dream also, the mind goes away from the body and does something and comes back again. So when the physical organs are incapacitated, like anesthesia or shock, so that way, just by the subtle senses, we feel, we know, we remember, or this may also explain out-of-body experiences. The senses are compared to the attendants of the queen. They serve her by bringing information and performing activity. So they give information to our subtle senses, and subtle senses give information to the mind, and mind is again those information is integrated by soul and then the super soul. So really it is the super soul who is doing everything. So we have to know this all hierarchy. Together they comprise the array of material intelligence and sensory capabilities, all formed from subtle but nevertheless material energy. These are all material energy. They combinedly manufacture a sense of self, of which the king becomes entranced and falsely identifies that I am a king, I am the enjoyer of this city, this is my queen. So this body is empowered by five subtle air, that is, they are called medical prana, apan, vyan, saman and udan. In the Puranjan allegory, the five airs comprise the vital force, represented by a five-headed serpent. So the Puranjan asks about the identity and origin of the queen and her attendants. The queen replies that she does not know. We only know that we are existing in this place. We do not know what will come. Indeed, we are so foolish that we do not care to understand who has created this beautiful place for our residence. You have a great desire to satisfy your senses and all my friends, and I shall try to best in all respect to fulfill your desires. I have just arranged a city of 9 gates for you so that you can have all kinds of sense gratification. You may live here for 100 years and everything for your senses gratification will be supplied. The queen is questioning the queen that so king is the self asking material intelligence what is for the ultimate questions. The answer provided by the queen is fundamental attitude, reflects of modern science which prides itself on avoidance of certain questions. They don't want to give parapsychological questions and the tentativeness of whatever answers it may provide. I cannot speak to you perfectly, that is what the science, we can't know, we don't know. We only know that we are existing place, that is what science is saying. The queen provides a monist materialist answer to the king's questions about this situation. But Bhagavad Puran gives us more details about this phenomenon of the 9 gates of the city innovated by the king and the queen. 7 gates are on the surface, like eastern side, this surface are 2 nose, the ears, 2 ears, mouth, eyes. So they are on the surface and there are evacuation and so these are so king, he exists through this, and so there are several things that has been given, and he goes, these 2 nostrils are Nalini and Nalini, and 2 gates on the northern and southern side. Here he goes to places where different kinds of sounds are heard. So in all the activity, king follows the lead of the queen. In other words, the conscious self in the material world, he becomes conditioned by the material intelligence. And she takes, so in Bhagavad Puran, that when the queen is drinking, the king engaged in drinking. When he is dined, he also dined. When she is chewing, king is chewing. So in this way, everything, whatever the intelligence orders, and he just follows like a slave, and he does it. So when the queen talks loosely, he also talks loosely. When the queen walked, the king walked behind her. When the queen would stand still, the king would also stand still. And when the queen would be down lying, he also does lies down. So when the queen sat, he also sat. And when the queen heard something, he would follow her to hear the same thing. So in this way, there are many, many analogies. So in this way, when the queen felt enjoyment, he also felt enjoyed. And when the queen was satisfied, king also felt satisfaction. So we just follow what the mind is, you know, intelligence. An important question that arises concerning dualist solution to the body-mind. Mind-body question is, how a non-material consciousness mind interacts with the material sense objects. In this model, there is an answer to this question. The interaction is based on illusory identification. We identify with the mind or with the intelligence, and that way we feel pain, suffering, happiness, because if the mind is happy, we feel happy. Like in the car we are sitting, and if we like the car very much and very expensive, if something dent happens to the car, then we feel, oh, I got hurt, although nothing happened. If a child that you love so much and attached to him, then child suffers, the mother suffers. Why? Because she is attached. Although mother is not suffering, but she suffers just because of so much attachment. And same thing that we suffer because we have nothing to do with other than ourselves, the soul, part of Krishna, but we can't adjust that. We just get distracted, and it is a subtle thing. So to understand the nature of this illusory identification, we need to readjust the familiar mind-body dualism. So triadic conception. A non-material conscious self, there is a soul, there is a material body formed by mind and intelligence, subtle material body, and a grass body. So these three things, they interface each other. So we have to readjust this. This is all illusory identification. I know the time is, but I will try to finish it soon. I have to leave behind so many details. So another question that may arise, one is faced with the problem of how the various kinds of sense data are presented in an integrated fashion. So even various elements of the visual sense, such as the perception of color, movement, and form, are located in different parts of the brain. So all these are located, hearing is in some different part of the brain, this feeling or acting or, so there is a working or, all these are, so how they are interfaced. So Bhagavad Puran model, integrating function is performed by the mind, which receives sensory inputs from the subtle senses grouped around it. The mind is not, however, conscious. So the mind might be compared to the multimedia computer software, capable of integrating audio and visual materials into a single display, making use of a variety of inputs and source materials. The material intelligence represented by the queen directs the living entity's consciousness to the integrated display of sensor data. So intelligence is a subtle material energy, is not itself conscious. And so these are all mind, body, ahankar, but it mimics the behavior of the consciousness. So the intelligence attracts the attention of the conscious self, causing the self to identify with it. Just as we identify with the image of an actor on a movie screen. So that is the same way that we integrate everything. But the extremely subtle, the indirect connection of the conscious self with the grass material arises from the self's false identification with the action of a subtle material energy, intelligence. This extremely subtle material element that connects the conscious self with the material intelligence is called ahankar or false ego. The whole system is set up and directed by the super soul. So according to the Bhagavad Puran, the conscious self originally experiences non-material sense objects. The conscious self originally, it experiences non-material through the non-material senses. That is, we have spiritual senses. Non-material means spiritual. This place takes place in the spiritual world. But having turned from the original situation, from the spiritual kingdom, the self is placed in a material body, in the material world, identifying with this artificial situation. The self forgets its own nature and that of God. But God remains with the self as the super soul, as an unknown friend, avigyat. If the self tires of the artificial material reality and desires to return to its original position. The unknown friend will reawaken the original spiritual senses and the self and reconnect with their spiritual sense objects. So if we desire that, let me go back, this is all artificial, because there is suffering and happiness also little bit is there. But if we know that what is our real origin, how I could enjoy spiritually by my pure senses, then one can go back home and turn to the soul, because there are two birds are sitting on the same tree. One is eating the bitter and sweet fruits of the tree, and another is just watching that when he will look to me. So when we take the guidance from a spiritual master and from Krishna as a super soul, he will guide us on the path back home, back to our real consciousness, the Krishna consciousness. So thank you so much. There may be many questions, but this is a very, means it is in more detail. It is given in 5 chapters, in so many hundreds of verses, in Puranjani story told by Sri Narad Muni to King Prachin Barisat. So if you have any comments, questions on this story of the soul, how it comes out of the spiritual world, how he wants to enjoy separately, and how he is covered, and then how the intelligence is a form of a queen, she just puts him into the wrong consciousness. It is not our real consciousness, but it connects. So ultimately everything is done by the super soul. So we should work for the super soul, knowing that we are part of him, rather than working for our own self, our senses, or the mind, our intelligence. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So I hope everything was clear, or at least I tried to explain. Yes.
It's a wonderful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hiya, Hare Krishna. Go ahead, Mataji.
Prabhu, I have learned that the soul doesn't migrate. It is carried by mind, intelligence and false ego to the other body.
Yeah, hello.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare. Somebody is muting and unmuting. So, no, soul do migrate. He comes out. It's not that we are in the spiritual kingdom all the time. Soul does come, like you have a soul, I have a soul. So soul is part of Krishna, but it is covered. It is not real. I mean, soul is not acting in its own natural performance of service to the Lord. We are serving our intelligence, senses, mind. So we are serving our own ego. And that's why in the material world, so Krishna puts us to experience that you cannot enjoy without me. In your real senses, are in the, you could enjoy with your purified senses in the spiritual kingdom. So come to me. He is waiting for us and trying to ask us back. So it's not that soul never leaves and it is just a dream. We are, this material world is created. Like you cannot say that prison house is not there. In the kingdom, there is a prison house. So prison and the person who is a criminal, he is put into the prison house. So we are all criminals because we wanted to enjoy separately. Enjoy our own, although everything belongs to Krishna. So we are all thieves and put into this material world. So yes, soul do separate, comes, we are thrown. He is just by his breathing or by his skin pores, he puts us into the material world and gives us a certain kind of body. Like Puranjan was looking for a suitable body to enjoy, where he could enjoy. So he liked the human body. So anyway, go ahead, what is your question?
What I read was that the soul on its own doesn't move, but is carried by mind, intelligence,
or things. See, soul does not move. It is carried by mind. But what is carried? Mind carries the soul. So soul also comes to the material world, and we are shackled by golden or iron or chain. So we are chained into the material world. Or there is also, anyway, we are all in the material world, not that it is just the mind. See, the on the spiritual kingdom, the minute we think to remain separate, then we come down to the material world. Not that we remain in the spiritual kingdom, because Maya cannot enter the spiritual kingdom. Only our thought. So it's not that just the mind, but soul also falls. One may say that soul never, but it is just a dream state. We are here, not in our sojourn in the material world. It is a very temporary, very short time, because we are eternal being. In eternity, even in the material world, there is 1 billion years. It is just a fraction. So you may say that it is like we enjoy in the material world. Hello?
Hello. Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. So but it is a flickering enjoyment. It is not a permanent. But soul is looking for continuous anandam buddhivardhanam. That it is looking for enjoyment. It always increases in newer and newer, which is only available in the spiritual realm, like the love between Srimati Radharani and Krishna. But that is what our soul is looking like, that kind of enjoyment, which never finishes, never ends. But here everything is temporary. So soul does come to the material world by the arrangement of the Lord. We experience that it is futile to look for bliss or happiness, and let me go back home after. So everybody would go back home, but it is soul again desire, again come. But Maya, like you say, contaminated mind cannot go to the spiritual kingdom and remain there. That means that we remain in the spiritual kingdom and just the mind thinks. But there is a prison house. There is a material world. We cannot call it false, although it is temporary. So, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So, Brahma, but it is not Mithya. It is temporary. Mithya means it is not there in the beginning. It is now. Go, you can go. So, we cannot call it a Mithya. That soul does not go. Soul does go. It is not false. Soul comes. And all the scriptures and Puranjani story also tells us that, just like a big bang, so there was something spiritual world, there were bubbles who came, and then it was rotating. By whose energy? So it came separately. So that is the material world is a prison house, from Brahma Loka to the Patal Loka.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, this is Damodaran Das.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada, I have a question, but yeah. Go ahead, Mataji.
I am not clear, Prabhu. It is, I read that the soul travels, soul is carried by the subtle body.
Carried where? Soul is carried by where?
To the next body.
Yeah, next body, but these bodies, material bodies are in the material world. There is no material body in the spiritual kingdom. Are there material bodies in the spiritual kingdom?
No.
No, so we have to be out of the spiritual world to have the material body and material senses and material mind and material intelligence. And so, Prabhu, what is the meaning of going back home, back to Godhead? Means again we have to go back to our original spiritual source.
So, Prabhuji, what
so
is
because it is a temporary... Just 1 second, Prabhu. This Mataji is saying it is just a temporary, it is a flickering. That's why it seems that we have never left the spiritual world. But we do live the spiritual world. Material world is real. It is a Mayavad philosophy to just say that Brahma Satyam and Jagan Mithya, that Jagat is Mithya. Jagat is temporary. It comes, it is annihilated, it goes again. So these things, they do happen. But it's not that it is false. And our coming to the material world is false.
Right. So, Prabhuji, what is described is that the soul in the material world does not travel alone. It is in a sukshma sharir, you know, mind, intelligence, and ego.
Right.
Only when the soul crosses the Karno Dakshai ocean and goes to the spiritual planet, does it shed mind, intelligence, and ego? The
material mind, intelligence,
soul
ego.
But the soul does travel. It travels with the sukshma sharir or the subtle body.
Right.
And the karma the causal body is the soul. So that is the understanding I have.
Thank
you very much. I just wanted to thank you because you are a physician. You gave so many insight to me about, you know, the phantom limbs and the near-death experience. And recently I read a book written by a doctor who almost died on the, actually he died on the operation theater, and he had this out-of-body experience. And so he wrote a book on that. So it's all very interesting the way you described it. My question is, that queen that you are describing, is queen the intelligence or the mind?
No, intelligence. But some people may take it as a mind also. If their brain is not working, then it is the mind. Sometimes the mind is also subdued by the senses. Like they give the, like say, in a chariot, if we are like a passenger on the chariot, and then the intelligence is the driver. The reins are the mind. The senses are the horses. But horses may go bewildered. They may not listen to the mind or the intelligence. So that is that could change time to time according to who is more powerful.
So my understanding is, there is a lot of confusion when you translate Sanskrit into English. So mind actually is mana in Sanskrit, and
right.
Intelligence is buddhi, and consciousness is chetna, and
right.
The brain actually is mastishk. You know, brain, we confuse many times brain and mind as one thing.
No, brain, mind, or intelligence, they are all different. These are subtle.
Yes,
brain is a grass,
exactly.
Grass substance. You could weigh it. You could see it.
Right.
Mind is
right,
not like
right.
that. Okay. But
right.
many people, they don't understand.
Right. So the brain to me is like hardware.
Right.
And the intelligence is the operating program that comes with the hardware. And the
right.
brain is something that is a corrupt program, you know, it's like a virus. So we have to keep studying. And the power of the electricity is the soul, you know, because it powers the system. That brings the system to come alive. So that's how I understand it. Is that
really the
right?
Power comes, everything comes from the super soul.
Soul
right. itself cannot give any power to anything. Soul is just a part, and it could only act by the arrangement of the super soul. So ultimate integrating and everything is done by the super soul. So we should give importance to him and worship him and surrender to him.
That is.
Okay.
That is. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanyavad Pranam. Today you explained from medical statement also, and so deeply you explain us so that it's clear that we are bonding in three chains, like a copper, gold and aluminium, but we have to completely surrender to Shri Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev and Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. And also for example, two birds. That one bird is myself that enjoying, and the one bird is watching Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So we should very carefully chant our round attentively. Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanyavad Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Thank you for repeating those and very nicely, elaborately just saying this, that we should just surrender and look their guidance and pray to them for our deliverance. Only in human body we can do that. So we should do that now. So thank you for your clear understanding of this. And so please go on with your devotional service.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Maybe you have already covered this, but I was away for some time. So what is the shape of, for soul we have a shape described, and what about the mind and other intelligence and false ego? Is there any shape or anything?
Oh, the shape? They have so subtle shape that we cannot even see them. They are not that you could feel. You cannot touch, you cannot see. That's why they are called subtle. Just our soul is the subtlest. It is 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. So it is not grass. The soul is not grass. Neither these subtle things are grass. Grass things only that we could have some describe or more, but that is just the feeling, thinking, feeling, willing. They are not grass things. Your question is that whether we cannot, we can just feel the presence just by just thinking, feeling or willing, not by itself, not in a physical sense, we cannot feel their presence.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Prabhuji, the class was very wonderful, Prabhu. Actually, I haven't heard about all these, I mean, the in details. So, yeah, Prabhu, I have another question, but yeah, I mean, where we can find that what we call the, I mean, algorithm theory, analogy, and all those things, Prabhu, where, which scripture?
Prabhu, we are reading right now 4th Canto. We are on this. Whatever chapter we are in, when you go to chapter number 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, see, I just took like even, not even 1%. So in detail, you will be able to read, or you could read Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, chapter 24th onward. And it will give the Puranjan's history, and who is Puranjani, and how the city was attacked, and how he died, and how Puranjan became a girl, a woman in the next life, and how she was crying, and then the super soul comes and directs him that you are nothing like this, why you are crying. So it gives the ultimate liberation, that how you could be liberated or free from this. Means he was wandering for many, many years, and when he got the human body, then he got again attached to his intelligence, and then ultimately he becomes a woman in the next life, and he suffers so much, and then this Agyat person, the super soul, he comes as a Brahmin and directs him, gives him the... So it's a whole story. It's very nicely given by Narad Muni to King Prachin Barisad for us to understand the journey of the soul and how it could go back home, back to Godhead.
Thank you, Prabhu.
You're welcome. So please read. It takes a long time. But I just wanted to give a nutshell in just an hour, which is sometimes difficult to explain everything.
That's true, bro.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji Dandavatam.
Hare Krishna, Dandavatam.
Yeah, very nicely. How that thing is related to all these verses today? Because, you know, the Dhruva Maharaja was like, you know, he was killing so many yakshas, and after reminding him he's a devotee, then he came to Jesus and he stopped that. So how it is related, the soul is related to this thing?
Yeah. This story is related to this Puranjan story because he was acting as an ordinary person, although he's a devotee, but just out of some time being, he was acting as a Puranjan, as a normal person, but he was not. So I just wanted to tell you that how Puranjan was acting, what did he do, and then how he got free. So his grandfather is telling him that you are not an ordinary person, but you are a pure devotee of the Lord, and your place is not in killing and hurting others and giving or even giving soul the problem, like he is telling that Paramatma is also there, not just the soul. So you are hurting even Paramatma by killing unnecessarily to so many yakshas. So how the Paramatma is there, what is his role, what he is doing, and how he is hurting the Paramatma, and how he came to his senses, Dhruva Maharaj, and went again. So those are all part of this story. That's why I wanted to tell that story. It's just teaching this. It's not exactly everything is. You learn in one class, you learn so many things. But you could relate everything because everything is related to Krishna consciousness. To Krishna, that how we could go back home, back to Godhead. The purpose of all our discussion is ultimately by all these stories or all these narrations is to understand our real position, that we are part of Krishna and meant to love Krishna. So anything that brings us to that point, then that is part of the same thing, Bhagavatam. So we have to see the ultimate purpose behind.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. But I have a small question. So how intelligence is carried from birth to birth, Prabhuji? Suppose a person is super intelligent in one life, and if he goes to other body, will the intelligence be carried like that?
No. Can you just repeat in just a small way?
Prabhuji, my question is how intelligence soul takes a body to body when the body dies and it takes another body, the soul goes to another body, just like that. Is intelligence is also carried from one body to other body?
Mind, intelligence and false ego. These three accompany the soul, takes all the impressions of the previous many, many lives. And according to your thought, wherever you finish, then you take over again another body. Just to enjoy or suffer, you take this goes on and on until you understand that we have nothing to do with this material body or the senses or my intelligence, ego or mind, but I have to do everything with Krishna and in the spiritual kingdom. So then you come to the real senses, real intelligence. See, this is all false intelligence. We just engage, enjoy. This is our sin, this is mine, children are mine, home is mine, wealth is mine, I have this prestige, I am this doctor. They are sarvopadi, they are all upadis, designation. Soul has nothing to do with male, female, doctor, Indian, American, or animal, or human being. Soul is a pure servant of Krishna, part of Krishna. Soul is not male or female. Soul is not something rich or poor. Our soul has a completely separate designation, but we identify with the material world, and because of that identification, we suffer. Just we identify a snake with a rope with a snake, then until that illusion is gone, so we are in an illusion that I am part of this material world. I am a male. These are all upadhis. So we should be out of the illusion by real knowledge, and this is Bhagavad Puran is giving us an opening by the torch light of knowledge. He is opening our eyes what we are, and only human being can understand this, not even demigods. So we should utilize our human life when Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came fully to understand this science, which even the modern scientists cannot understand or don't have any answer to many, many things, which Bhagavad Puran is answering.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Okay, you're welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class, and thank you for your time to explain all our doubts. Prabhuji, I have another question that continuation of question that Mataji asked. So, intelligence, we know that a person is having, for example, he gained some expertise and intelligence in a particular field, say art or architecture or something like that. That is material. And then when it is carried over to the next life, he doesn't remember everything. That's what, Krishna says that from me comes remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge. But what is there in the intelligence? Is there the material expertise, is that there? Or what is stored in the intelligence when it's carried to another body?
All the impressions of his previous lives are there in mind and in intelligence. So he has that tendency, I die of thinking to show my body. Then Krishna gives you the suitable body to show as a tree, or you want to pounce on an animal, or I had a little boy, I brought a gear cycle when I was young, and some five-year-old child, he opened it up and put it back again, which he had never seen, because he was a mechanical person in the last life. So those tendencies do remain as in the mind and the intelligence. Because mind intelligence again come back. same mind, same intelligence, same desire, they come back again in the next form, next life. But suitable to enjoy that tendency. Like you want, as I give you, if you want to drink a hot blood, then become a tiger and just pounce and just drink the hot blood, not as a human being. So they give us, the Brahma arranges that suitable body by taking the substance from Mahatattva and makes our, gives us the new body, another body, another body. But how long? It is not reality. The reality is the spiritual kingdom. But we think that that is reality. So unless we come to our senses by this Vedic teaching or Bhagavad Dharma, we remain in illusion. We are in slumbering. Jiva jago, jiva jago, Gaurachan bole. Gaurachan is telling that, wake up, how long you will sleep in the lap of Maya? Maya is alluring us, it is Maya's function to keep us, unless we are purified of our desires to go back to Krishna and pray to him, she keeps us in the material world. Okay, so I hope you understand what.
Yeah, yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class. Thank you so much for telling so many details about soul and intelligence, subtle body and everything. It was very clear class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for encouraging me. I am giving the same class this Sunday. So it was my little bit rehearsal that I thought that let me speak. Because this Sunday in Tuaco temple, I will give the practically the same class about this Puranjani story. So I thought that way it would be my reputation to prepare. So it is my selfishness too, but it gives some substance to the to you people also. So I thought I will integrate along with this class.
Very nice. Okay. Is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji? If there is no more comments or questions for Prabhuji, I would like to end the call here. Before ending, I would like to offer obeisances to all Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa tarobhyasya kripa.
Namo namah.